Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you tonight. And we're going to turn our Bibles to Esther this evening, Esther chapter 8. And we'll look at a couple of scriptures here this evening. Well, it's good to see everyone today. And just was walking around yesterday and Jabez pulled me aside. He said, "Pastor, you should wear your glasses more often." And he said, "You look gentler." So I don't know how to take that. But I did just thought I'll just try it tonight, and I'll try anything to help you be more receptive. All right, so we'll turn to Esther chapter 8, and you know it's interesting in our world today how you know we've commodified something that I think is actually a gift from God. And what I'm talking about is this whole idea of influence. And, you know, we live in a world where you can be paid as an influencer. You can be on different social media platforms and you can monetize your influence. You can measure that by the amount of people that click on your videos or how you can lead people to think that certain brands or items or products that worth their money and worth their time. And you know there's just that thinking about influence now that I think sometimes is we're neglectful as believers about how our influence is. And you know when you think about what influence is, it's really about how you affect others. You can influence them for right. You can influence them for good. And, you know, when you read through the book of Esther, you recognize that whilst the name of the book really leads to who the main character of the book is in Esther, there's another one that really is, in many ways, the real hero of the story, and that's Mordecai. And we're gonna look at Mordecai's influence, and really the title of the message tonight is really just this, the stewardship of influence. And if you really think about it, each and every one of us has some sort of influence on those around us. And I want you to understand that influence and how you affect others, that's actually a gift from God. You know, not all of us can be an influence in every circle, but you have a circle of influence. You have those that you can affect and help and bless. And you know, I received a phone call yesterday once again, and it was a number I didn't recognize, but it was a Queensland number, so I thought I'd pick it up. Usually if it's a New South Wales number or a Victorian number, I just neglect it because I just ignore it because it's probably sales, right? It's probably someone named Steve that's actually from a different country. But I picked this up and it was actually a sales call, but it was from Aspley Mazda. And the fella began talking to me. He said, "Hey, is this Hernan?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, did you purchase a vehicle a couple of years ago?" I said, "No, not me directly, but the church did." And he said, "Oh, I see that. It was Good Shepherd Baptist Church." I said, yeah, I'm actually the pastor there." And he goes, "I've heard of your church." I said, "Oh, in a good way?" I said, yes, no. And he said, "Do you know James?" I said, "Yeah, I know a few Jameses." And he said, "No, James Forrest." I said, "Oh, I know James." He goes, and Connor McStravick. And I said, "Yeah, I know who Connor is." And he said, "Oh, I'm a mate of theirs." It was Elliot was his name, Elliot Zylstra. And he said, "I knew them when we were younger." And he said, "Oh, I know they've been going to your church." And he mentioned some really good things. He mentioned just how he felt, you know, that they've really done well as far as just being here and so forth, and had mentioned. And I just thought about that as I was sitting here there at the front this evening, how just our testimony and just the way we are with others can just be so influential, can give us a sort of a mindset toward a place or a mindset toward even the things of God. And I think when you look at the story of Mordecai, he goes from this unknown person that really sat there in sackcloth to Now we're going to see just in royal robes, and he increased in influence. He increased in his ability to be known. In fact, later on, we're going to see he was called great in the kingdom. And how often it is that God might bless with greater influence, and yet we've got to still steward that. You know, it's easy enough to say that, you know, our influence is this way and that way when maybe our circle of influence isn't so great. But perhaps God would bless you or bless us with greater influence. I wonder how we would steward that. I wonder if you build a reputation or a testimony of good and you get to be better known, if you would steward that kind of influence. And in the life of Mordecai, that was really the case. As he rose in position in the kingdom, he was used greater by God. And Mordecai is a good example of someone who was a steward of his influence. And really what we're going to say is that it was godly influence. He was someone that used his position and used his influence to affect those around him in a godly way. And I hope that that would be the case for us as perhaps God advances us or gives us a greater measure of influence, that we would steward that in a way where we could say that we are a godly influence on those around us. And notice in Esther chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 15 to 17 to begin with. Notice what the Bible says. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And notice what the Bible says here. The Jews, his people, had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. And even those that were non-Jews, they were Gentiles, they proselyted and they became Jews because of the blessing it was of Mordecai's influence. And you know the story, there was those enemies of the Jews, Haman particularly, who put in and enacted a law that meant that the Jews were going to be harmed, and God orchestrated, and it's an interesting book when you read through the book of Esther, there's no real mention of God, and yet you can't doubt the fingerprints and the working of God in the behind the scenes in the book of Esther. It's so evident. It just so happened that then Esther became queen, Mordecai's niece, someone that he had influence over. And Mordecai, who was just sitting at the gate, somehow he overheard of a plot to overturn the king and to murder the king, to assassinate the king. And he was able to warn of that. And because of that, he was then honored. And he was placed here, and we read it. He was presented by the king in royal apparel. He came from this place of mediocrity, of being unknown, to a place where he was then well known. And you imagine that kind of promotion, and you know, it happened fairly quickly here, how that might affect your personal view of yourself, how you view yourself in light of these promotions. And we've got to be careful in times of promotion to guard our hearts against pride, to think much of ourselves. And here we see Mordecai. He really, firstly, used his influence to bring light and joy in difficult situations. The Bible tells us that the Jews, as a result of Mordecai's influence, had gladness and lightness and joy and honor. And you know what it was? His influence wasn't superficial. His influence was used for the betterment of those around him. You know, it's easy to be motivated about our influence when it's about us. And that's what's so wrong about the culture of today, where influence is commodified. It's all about self-gain. It's all about self. It's all about what you can get out of your influence. It's about what you can gather from that. And yet in the life of Mordecai, as God allowed him greater influence, His greater influence meant greater for his community, greater for those around him. And Mordecai's elevation, it brought gladness and joy and honor to the Jews. And what I'm saying is that his rise was not about personal gain, but it was about communal blessing. It was about that those that were his people were blessed as a result. You know, it's like the church in Corinth, where the Bible says that they were second to no one in the gifts, and yet what was the matter with those in Corinth? They were carnal. And God had to, through Paul, teach them again, the purpose of the gifts was to edify the church. It wasn't for them to be puffed up. It wasn't for them to be better known. It wasn't for their self-gain. No, it was actually for them to grow and build the church. God's mindset was for others. And you know, you might find yourself growing in influence. You might find yourself growing in your ability to be able to move people and to help them. And it ought to be that rather than thinking about how it brings gladness to our lives, it ought to bring gladness to their lives, your influence. And godly influence brings light and joy in difficult situations. This was a time where the Jews particularly were being troubled. They had great enemies. And yet what we find is Mordecai wasn't about himself. He was about those around him. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 20, verses 6 to 7, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And notice there that, again, that there's this order of don't proclaim your own goodness. Just let it be. Let that goodness in your life bless others, and children are blessed after him. And when God raises us up, our influence should bring hope, encouragement, and blessing to those around us. You know, God knows our heart in this, and that's why perhaps he won't allow and he won't give some greater influence than what they think they should. I think about Solomon and his whole heart towards the people of the nation again. He was installed as leader, and in that famous dream that he had, God gave him a blank check. And what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. Why? Because he didn't feel like he had enough as a leader to lead God's people. And you know what God did? He gave him that plus more, didn't he? He gave him all of the other things. He gave him the riches and all of that. And it was his own promotion wasn't in his mind. It was really about using his influence to bring lightness and joy in difficult situations. And so that's the first thing we learned this evening. Secondly, look at Esther chapter 9 now. So we're going forward in the story. Now in the 12th month in verse 1, that is the month Adar on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. And notice in parentheses here, just this thought, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. And notice that. So there's a fear given, and you understand this is God putting protections on his people. But because it was Mordecai who was key, who was influential. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, waxed greater and greater. So not only did he have great influence, he had greater and greater influence. And notice that. And thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace of the Jews, slew and destroyed 500 men. You might read that out of context, and you might say, well, why did they do that? Listen, because harm was enacted toward them first. And really, the decree, that the solution that Mordecai put forward was simply this: give the Jews the opportunity to protect themselves. That was really it. He didn't tell them to go on the attack. He said, if they come to harm you, you have the right to defend yourself, was really what it was. And what we learn from this is really this: godly influence brings protection to the distressed and vulnerable. You know, it wasn't about vengeance. See, Mordecai ensured that the Jews were empowered really to defend themselves, to just have that opportunity, if there was an attack to come, for them to just defend their situation. And his leadership, it brought about great unity. You know, we won't take the time, but if you look through the happenings here, that the Jews got together and they put away perhaps their petty bickering, and they just got together because they understood this was a time for them to just unite so that there's less damage. And so his leadership united the people and turned what potentially could have been a day of destruction into a day of great victory. And he did this through some means. Firstly, we know he did it through willing courage. He just had courage. You know, when God gives leaders responsibility, not for comfort, but for courage. You know, sometimes we need to stand up when it counts for the good of others. And he spoke up when it was necessary. He went and he told the king. You know, he stood up and he spoke to Esther when it was needed. And he did it through willing courage. He spoke up when it was necessary. And it was such a contrast to Haman, who really is the bad guy in the story. Haman always spoke for himself. He always spoke to promote himself. He always spoke to make sure that others knew about the greatness of Haman. But actually, Mordecai was more about preserving and helping those in need. And in Proverbs 10:19, the Bible tells us, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And Mordecai was disciplined with his time to speak. He was willing through courage. And then secondly, he did it through weighing the critical. You know, it was through his insistence, if you recall the story, that Esther presented the matter before the king. Remember, initially when he approached Esther, she said, "No, I can't do that." And then what did he say? He knew what was critical. It was a critical time. And he tells Esther, "Who knows if you weren't put in the kingdom for such a time as this?" You know, we often quote that, right? It's a great theme. But you understand, it wasn't Esther that spoke that. It was Mordecai. And Mordecai, he was able to weigh up the critical. You know, at the same time, it wasn't as if Mordecai had just a free run. No, he also had an enemy. In fact, Haman, who again was a bad guy in the story, Haman was the one who was particularly vehemently against Mordecai, was incensed when Mordecai was the one being lifted up, was the one that drew up those gallows after seeing all that was happening, and he enacted a plan, Haman did, to try to trip up Mordecai. And he had all of that, and you know what, in all of that, you see evident in his life his trust in God. He was trusting God that whilst this was happening, the bigger picture was there was greater harm to his people. And he understood he needed to stand in the breach, and he weighed up what was critical. You know, my own comfort or just leadership through this time. And he showed godly influence by weighing the critical, but just really through his wise counsel. You know, he foregoed his own safety, and he understood how to give advice. You know, it was at his advice that this plan, how the system of the country worked, it was his plan in order to enact this defense. It was his plan. He understood that God had given an opportunity. Esther didn't see that. Esther didn't see it for herself. It was actually Mordecai in his wise counsel to Esther that now we have this story, and then they had this feast called Purim to just dedicate a time of remembrance to this great rescue of the people. But it wasn't Esther, it was Mordecai. It was his godly influence. And it was his wise counsel, and he understood what God given opportunities and providence look like? He helped Esther understand, listen, for such a time as this, you are here for this reason. And God didn't just place you in the kingdom and place you in the palace and place you as the queen just for your ease, Esther. No, He placed you there so that you can be a rescue to your people. And it was His godly influence that made sure it protection came to those who were distressed and vulnerable. You know, sometimes when we look at influence again, and particularly as God maybe raises that in your life, we can be quick to just think about ourselves and to think about how that would benefit and how that would help and how that would... And so often we start to forget that with this great responsibility, God has a great accountability to us. And to whom much is given, much shall be required. And too often, when it comes to just stewarding our influence, we get so caught up in maintaining our influence that we don't use it for the purpose that perhaps God has given it to us. And then the last thing, look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10, and it's a great little chapter, just three verses, but it just ties everything up. In verse 1, and the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai. So there was this tribute laid for the king, but then within that, he wanted to put tribute to Mordecai. Notice this, whereunto the king advanced him, that are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? So in their history, in this secular history, within that is written the influence of Mordecai. And here it is, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus and great among the Jews and accepted of the multitude of his brethren. And here's how it's summed up. And again, this is a book named after Esther, but it ends with this tribute to Mordecai, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. You know, at the end there, godly influence brings peace, even when destruction is a likely outcome. You know, there's that saying, some people can make a mountain out of a molehill. And what it is there's people, they're just so talented to make bigger deals than what it needs to be. But actually, godly influence can minimize. It minimizes hurt. It minimizes destruction. It has the ability to, because of their godliness, to just make it less than it needs to be. And that's what Mordecai did. You know, the destruction was certain. But because of God's placing of Mordecai in their midst, that was not only alleviated, it was completely turned. It came to the point where they were celebrated. And the book closes with Mordecai being remembered as great among the Jews. But why was he? Simply this, because he sought the wealth of his people. He didn't seek his own wealth. He didn't seek his own gain. No, he sought the wealth of his people. And he spoke peace to all his seed. And his influence here, it really outlasted his lifetime. There were tributes. And there were great blessings that for the generations to come. And what we find with this man who had godly influence, he was a man of power, but he was not corrupted. You know, sometimes with promotion comes corruption. You've seen it. You've seen those that maybe at the very early stages of their career, you've seen it in politicians. They seem to be people of the community, and then after a while, because they work hard and all of that, they come through the ranks and then they go through and they become leaders and they become those that people know, and suddenly the community that they always felt like was theirs is no longer. They're sort of just, you know, And what happened with Mordecai was, as God promoted him, he didn't forget those that he needed to serve. And he was a man of power, but not corrupted. His greatness didn't inflate his ego. He used it for good. Then, you know, he was a man of peace, not vengeance. And again, he sought a condition of protection, not destruction. You know, he told the people there, protect yourselves. If they go after you, then you make sure you defend yourselves and you. And his condition was of protection, not destruction. And he was a man of others, not selfish gain. You know, he chose the wealth of his people. That's what the Bible says there. He's seeking the wealth of his people. It was about their welfare. It was about them. It was about others. But then he was a man of example, not excuses. He taught his children. He says, speaking peace to all his seed. And he taught his children how to bring peace. He taught them by word and by deed. He taught them how it is that they were to, again, remember this time, and God allowed this Feast of Purim to be a good reminder of when God rescued them. But the rescue didn't come just out of the sky. It came through the godly influence of one man who really at the beginning of the story was obscure. But later on, God elevated. Why? Because God could trust him with the stewardship of that influence. And maybe you're here and you're, you know, I don't think it's a wrong thing to pray for influence. I don't think it's wrong for you to pray that God would allow you to be a greater influence. But beware, because there's some things that sometimes happen in our hearts that then negates the influence that God asks you to steward in the first place. And maybe it's more about let's get our values aligned. You know, let's get our hearts and our minds off ourselves. And let's start to think about the needs of others. Let's start to think about the wealth of those around us and the welfare of those. And maybe God will then use you to be the godly influence that can make all the difference. All right, Jewel, thanks.